All right. The first question is, how will the earth be big enough to hold everybody that ever lived? First off, I want to say that you're assuming, I mean, I assume that you're talking about during the millennium, right? Okay. You got to remember one thing, and that is that the majority of the people do not go with Christ when he comes. The majority of the people would be lost. So of those who go with Christ in the first resurrection, that considerably cuts down the number of people you have to deal with. Before we started tonight, we did a check, and the 2013 census, the earth had 7 billion, something like that, over 7 billion people in the world. And with the conditions that have been going on with ISIS and everything, we don't know if it's up or down at the present time, but let's say 7 billion. It has been calculated from the description given in the scriptures. If you look at Revelation 21, verse 16, it tells us that the holy city is square. And it says it's 12,000 furlongs. That will convert over, I checked the with several different sources, that will convert over to about 1,378.4 miles. Now, there are some who interpret that as being just one side. There are others who interpret that as being all the way around. But let's say if it's one-sided, okay? If it's only on one side, that is approximately 344.6 miles on a side. Bringing that closer to home, if you were to start down in the upper part of Indiana, that would take you through the lower peninsula, over the bridge, over the upper peninsula, into Lake Superior, and you'd be touching on the into Ontario. That'd be the size of one side, approximately. Now, if that's square, I mean, you're going to go way over to Minnesota. And don't forget, you don't have mountains and water to contend with. Now, if this city is about that size, and assuming, Aiden, I don't know how big your bedroom is at home, but let's give you a 9 by 12. That's big enough to get a bed and a dresser in, right? Somebody who had a lot of time and nothing else to do sat down and calculated that if the holy city was only one floor, you could probably get about 24 billion people, if I remember correctly. I'd have to double-check those statistics. But you could get about 24 billion people in there. And there's about 7 billion in the world today. Now, you remember I said if it's all one floor. But how do we know there aren't stories to the holy city? In addition to that, the scripture simply tells us that that there will be many mansions. Mansion simply means large rooms. And in John 14:2, he tells us that in my Father's house are many mansions or large rooms. So I think there would be adequate room to accommodate you. And your chances are your bedroom will be bigger than a 9 by 12. Also, I want to mention that after he makes the new earth, the Lord opens the doors and you go out and you build your own home out in the new earth. And in Isaiah 66:23, it says that we will come in once a month, every new moon, and we will come in once a week on the Sabbath to worship before the Lord. So you probably stay in your townhouse when you're in the city to worship, and then the rest of the time, you're back in your country home. What's the next question? I'm sorry? Everybody who ever lived. Well, that's the point. We don't know exactly how many people ever lived, but there are some estimates that it could be as much as 24 billion people. you know, through the, it depends on whether you believe in evolution or creation or whatever, you know, where you're counting from. But going from the scripture, they projected roughly about that many people. So there'd be plenty of room. And don't forget, most of those will be lost. Okay. Good question. Where in the scriptures does it say that Mary didn't die or ascended? Well, quite frankly, a more appropriate question would be, where in the scripture does it say that Mary died and ascended? In John 19, 25 through 27, it says that John took her to live with him after the crucifixion. And she was last seen in the scriptures. She was present in Acts 1:14, and that's about the last mention of her in the scriptures. The tradition says that she went to live with John and died in Ephesus. And that's a long-standing tradition. The Bible nowhere, and I'm reading this from a Bible dictionary, okay? It says this: the Bible nowhere justifies an exaltation of Mary such as is found in the Roman Catholic Church. The Bible does not call her the Mother of God. That word Theotokos, the Mother of God, was a term that was used later on. Nor is she shown to be a dispenser of grace, but only a receiver of grace in common with all others. Most Catholic teachings regarding her is based upon pagan concepts and apocryphal legends. So there's nothing in the scriptures that ever mention Mary ascending. As a matter of fact, the idea that she is in heaven at the present time is actually based on a dogma. There's a difference between a doctrine and a dogma. You need to be aware of that. A doctrine is a teaching that's usually based on the scriptures. That's what the word doctrine means, teaching. That's all it is. Jesus is the Savior. That's a teaching or a doctrine. A dogma is something that is pronounced by the church, usually by the Pope, saying this is the way it is, and most of the time it has no relation to Scripture. And in order to do that, you first have to accept the concept of papal infallibility before you can start accepting some of the dogmas. And so we find that the idea that she went to heaven and there she intervenes for us is a dogma. And quite frankly, it wasn't until the 1800s, what was it, 18? I don't remember if it was 1854 or 1874. I don't recall exactly. It wasn't until the 1800s that it became official doctrine. So it took Mary a long time to get to heaven. Go ahead. I think that this is a question that's worth answering. Even though you said I didn't have to answer it, I think it's worth answering. For quite a while, I forgot to repeat the question. How can the devil not change after seeing the wrath of God? After 1,000 years, he must realize that without change, he would have no hope. I think he realizes that, but that doesn't stop him. You see, the devil has read the Bible, but it's some people say, well, I believe in God. You know what? So does the devil. The devil believes in God, just hasn't changed him at all. After working in the prisons for a little bit, I came to a startling realization that you have to understand the criminal mindset. And the devil is the arch criminal. You know, during the Middle Ages when Rome fell, one of the tribes that brought down the Roman Empire was a group of people called the Vandals. The Vandals swept through Rome and its surrounding territory, and Even if it was something that they themselves could use, they destroyed it anyway. And thus we get the word vandalism. And with Lucifer or Satan, we need to realize that he knows that he doesn't have much time. If you read Revelation 12, verses 12 and 17. So therefore, he's of the philosophy, if I can't have it, nobody's going to have it. And so he's kicking holes in the earth. He's trying to destroy as many people as he can. Why? Because he knows that this will cause additional pain to God. And it'll cause, if he can destroy God's beautiful creation, the animals, the plants, even the atmosphere, but especially the people, then he knows that he can bring additional pain to the Lord. And so I think if you read Revelation 12 and 17, it'll give you a little bit of a glimpse into his mindset. Heaven was glad to get rid of him when he was cast out of heaven. And woe to the earth, because he's going around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I want to thank you for staying through all these various lessons and weeks. And I hope that we've got more things we can share with you.